Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt. Thank you for joining us here at episode 1728, the 28th episode of 2017. Hope you guys had a blessed week. Hope you were able to tune in yesterday to our KTW ACN, American Christian Network affiliate radio show. We had a really great weekend. Thank you guys for your continued prayers and your support. Doing a little bit of research today, and my goodness, there's so much to choose from to cover. Really interesting. Hope you guys are getting ready for T-Rex 2017 next weekend, August 11th, 12th, and 13th, a scenario-based exercise that is going to be based on a earthquake scenario. Go to amron.com. That's amron.com to find that link. Click on the T-Rex banner. Very simple, straightforward instructions for the average Joe to participate. We want you to, if you have transmitting capabilities on your radios, shortwave, or your amateur radio, to call in your county status report, wherever you are calling from, to let us know if you know your power, cell phone, all that stuff is working or not. Of course, at noon, it will not be working because we are simulating a grid down exercise. That would be noon for those of you in the Pacific time zone, and 3 p.m. or 3 hours later, it's going to be 5 p.m. Central? That's when the second earthquake strikes. So look at the maps there that we have on that T-Rex page and determine where you are located. That's going to determine the Mercalli scale, earthquake scale that you are going to be reporting in based on your proximity to that epicenter. We've got maps there that describe exactly what you're supposed to call in when those earthquakes occur. So this is going to be a lot of fun, a little bit different than we've done in the past. But we've been really following this increased earthquake activity. It has gone up. I don't know what the exact figure is. I don't know if it's 200%, 300% in just 10 years of increased seismic activity around the world, but even in the United States. So we're seeing more and more of these earthquakes occur, and they're being reported as an extremely rare earthquake occurred in Montana, or this type of earthquake is very rare in this part of Oklahoma. And so we're seeing these very rare things happen a lot more. So that's how we kind of wanted to orient this training, to start getting folks prepared. We were working with a group about ready to make it public right after T-Rex, actually, for the Cascadia Subduction Zone team of folks, the C-Surge or Cascadia Subduction Response Group, that are Amron operators really ramping things up to mobilize and activate and begin reporting and sharing information and intelligence during a major earthquake along the Pacific coast, the Northwest, where that's expected to break loose anytime up to, within the next 50 years, or it could be next week or next month. They don't know, but they say the scientists are saying it's just definitely a matter of time. So we want to prepare for that. It's great training, great camaraderie built between the operators. Great friendships have been forged, and it's really a good time. And also, we're doing a service in case a real world emergency happens as well. So it's just a really good time. So thank you guys all for your hard work out there. Now, if you're not an amateur radio operator, and you are still interested in looking for an excuse to train at least just once a year, T-Rex just might be right for you. The Teotihuacan Readiness Exercise gives you a chance, a weekend, to carve out to spend Friday, Saturday, Sunday working your plan, whether it's a bug-out plan, getting to grandma's house, whether it's bugging in and, you know, practice cooking with your food you have stored up, cooking on the Coleman stove, working with alternative lighting and setting up the solar panel and running the generator and just getting that stuff, you know, working that you don't normally use. It just sits there on the shelf. This is a chance to do that. Now, if you want to stay informed during a disaster, you're going to need a shortwave radio with single sideband capabilities and tune into the AMRON nets following the signal's operating instructions where information is going to be passed. It's going to be flowing. And all of these pieces of the puzzle are going to begin coming together to give you a big picture of what the situation looks like. So I encourage you to do that. All right, now let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the partial collapse and the rebuilding. Go to 299days.com to learn more about that. In the news, let's look at Venezuela. They are rushing toward civil war as we've been following. Really interesting what's happened there. The president, who's acting like a dictator, Maduro, acting like a dictator, puts together an assembly, hand-picked, to choose the delegates that the people get to vote for. So, extremely lopsided so-called election. And the people are furious. They're really at the point where they feel like there is no other way to turn. This assembly has essentially dismantled any opposition to Maduro, including dismantling the legislative body. And it's kind of interesting where you have the executive branch setting up a de facto dictatorship through this assembly, calling it democracy. Well, in our own country, we have what very likely could be the legislative branch, Congress, through this grand jury that's been set up. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. Oh, probably segment three. But it's kind of a flip-flop of what we're seeing in Venezuela. Well, the folks there are feeling so much injustice now, they're starting to see clashes. Venezuelan authorities crush a military rebellion. Of course, they're calling them terrorists, naturally. That's historical. Venezuelan authorities have suppressed a military rebellion near the central city of Valencia, a ruling official said on Sunday, just today, less than 2 days after President Nicolas Maduro formed a legislative super body internationally condemned as a power grab. Of course, that's exactly what it was. The Socialist Party Deputy Cabello made the announcement shortly after the release of a video showing a group of men in military uniform announcing a rebellion and calling for a broad uprising. Of course, for the most part, as far as a rebellion or armed resistance, it's pretty quiet and pretty calm, at least as of today, but this is the direction things are going. It's really interesting. We're going to continue to follow the developments in Venezuela. I recommend that you do as well. Kim Un warns and threatens the United States again, threatens to end the USA. That makes him a existential threat that, in my opinion, must be dealt with. And of course, our government is working on military plans right now to quickly decapitate the government of the North Korea and liberate the people there. It has to be done. Kim Jong-un's media slammed America's recent decision to fly two supersonic bombers over the Korean Peninsula. And apparently, according to Drudge, they're now strengthening their ties with Iran, which really complicates things because that would make them an enemy as well, especially if they are contributing, you know, material support to North Korea's efforts and Russia basically threatening the United States. If we ever strike Iran or assist Israel in doing so, then they would intervene. So It's a pretty stormy horizon. Let's just put it that way. Nikki Haley, the UN ambassador, saying we're not playing anymore with North Korea. So I would not be surprised to wake up on any given morning to find out that airstrikes have begun and we are fully engaged in combat with North Korea. That could happen so quickly. And of course, it will happen without announcement. So we'll just continue to watch that. But it's a very real probability and possibility. One News Now has an article. Isaiah was right. Rogue judge in New York. Politicians prove it. What are they talking about here? Well, a pro-family activist in New York says Old Testament prophet Isaiah was right, saying there will come a time when people will call evil good and good evil. In fact, says the activist, it happened this week in a New York courtroom. Jeffrey Herant, the owner and operator of a New York-based online brothel, could have gotten up to 7 years under New York law and up to 5 years under federal law for running a brothel. But several homosexual New York City politicians and two members of Congress lobbied for leniency, and the U.S. District Judge Margot Brody evidently listened. Sent him away for 6 months, what he should have been facing up to 12 years for. Basically, these judges who've just gone rogue and are covering for people based on who they're attached to rather than keeping justice blind, as she's supposed to be, referring to Judge Brody. So, this is no surprising, but in several cases, this guy's has posted ads of super young, quote, super young escorts with their faces cropped out. So basically trafficking, human trafficking, human exploitation. And this, these are the liberals that cry about women being exploited and equality. And unless it has to do with sexual deviancy, then there's just no rules. It's quite all right. Good is bad. Bad is good. Interesting. Hey, let's take it closer to... Well, actually, this is a nationwide poll. From the National Institute on Drug Abuse, apparently. This WalletHub.com ran this story saying that annual overdose deaths have more than tripled from 2000 to 2015. And over 11 times more people were in prisons and jails for drug offenses in 2015 than in 1980, according to the Sentencing Project under the National Institute on Drug Abuse. So they rated the states, including District of Columbia. So there's 51 listed here. Number one, for the worst, the biggest problem in the country. Number one, District of Columbia. Let's run down the top five. Number two is Vermont. Number three, Colorado. Number four, Delaware. For the number one problem with drug abuse and drug usage. Well, let's take a look at the American Redoubt states here. Number six, wow, way up toward the top of the list, Oregon. Are we surprised? Now, not because of the American Redoubt portion of it, but because of the twisted communist godless over there on the left side of the state, on the coastal, wherever there's salt water. Must have something to do with salt water. Washington State's the same way. California's the same way. But Oregon is number six out of 51 as far as the worst problems with drug abuse, drug use, and the growth in drug abuse. And next is Washington, number 19, a little toward the top of the list, about a third of the way. Montana, 28, about average. 37, Wyoming, way down there. And Idaho, 51 out of 51. So, number one being the worst drug problems, and 51 having the least amount of drug problems, and that's Idaho. And that's also according to the National Institute on Drug Abuse. Interesting, huh? Even though there's a lot of meth problems, but that's everywhere. People's like, oh, Idaho is drug meth problems. No, it's everywhere. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but these fired staffers from the EPA, left-wing, globalist, Agenda 21, embracing globalist socialists, they're forming a rogue anti-Trump support group. And I wonder who is behind that. But this came out in the GemStatePatriot.com. It's former EPA staff members are now forming this little group. Basically, they are, I don't want to say insurgents, but they are definitely organizing to disrupt the current administration and their policies and their efforts. And of course, all those people that were fired, they're leftists, they're globalists, they're appointed by the Muslim who was in the White House in the previous administration, which will not be named. In the American Redoubt, and actually across the country, a swath is going to be covered across the country. It's going to be coming through Oregon first. On August 21st, there will be a total eclipse. First time ever in history, and supposedly not ever supposed to happen again, where a total eclipse will only be visible in the United States. And I guess the, what was it, 1979 was the last time a solar eclipse, a total solar eclipse occurred in the North American continent, but it was also visible in other parts of the world. Because this is so rare and because it's like decades before the next one's supposed to happen, actually, strike that. I don't know when the next one's supposed to happen. I've got several stories jumbled in my head and I don't have them right in front of me. It's my understanding, and I could be wrong, that it's going to be decades before the next solar eclipse. Because this one will only be available to see in the United States, it is going to be attracting millions of people flocking to the path of the solar eclipse. So now there's a pamphlet that has been issued by the government about the giving warnings about the upcoming solar eclipse with maps showing the trajectory, and they detail cautions that they want people to take. So this is going to go includes most of western Kentucky, middle Tennessee, South Carolina, the narrow strips of Georgia, North Carolina, along with several states in the West and the Midwest. The rest of the country, which reportedly lives within a day's drive of the path of totality, the total eclipse, they're saying because of the millions of people that are within a day's drive, that they're expecting Oregon to jump up to like 1.5 million people flooding into the state. Idaho's the same way. So they are concerned about people who – they're trying to let everyone know there's an eclipse coming because – the Tennessee Highway Patrol are concerned about a few people may not know about the eclipse, and all of a sudden it gets dark in the middle of the day. They start to panic. They pull over, cause wrecks, and everything else. But in the Northwest, they are actually in Oregon mobilizing the National Guard and the Red Cross and several emergency response organizations in Idaho and Oregon. Expecting power outages, expecting cell phone and internet outages, fuel shortages, restaurants running out of food, and then, of course, people being agitated, stranded, not having available services. It's really interesting. And in fact, I'm going to be talking next week to Shelby Gallagher, an author. She lives in Oregon, and she's been paying attention to how the government has been reacting. She reports it, and people are calling her a fearmonger. She's like, no, I'm just saying this is what the government is saying. I'm just saying the governor is having National Guard mobilized and Red Cross and other emergency services. They're concerned about choke points like bridges being blocked, with not even having any accidents. You throw in an accident, a fender bender or something on just one of those bridges, and there's cities that are going from a 100,000 population to a million population for a couple days. Yeah, you think that could complicate some things? Real interesting. But yeah, as far away as Tennessee, they're warning people to be extra cautious. Definitely want to have enough provisions for yourself. It provides a really good environment for people to get stranded, stuck, without conventional communications and so on. So, okay, hey, let's take a break. And we're going to come back. We're talking about computer security, VPNs being banned in Russia, and now VPNs being voluntarily pulled by Apple in China. Governments are starting to clamp down on the privacy of citizens. So what can you do about it? We know eventually it's going to come to a country near you. So what can you do about it now and maybe even in preparation for that time when it does come? So that and more when we come back here at Radio Free Redoubt. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
I want to thank Radio Free Redoubt for being here and for broadcasting it so that the message reaches far beyond this room. But this is a cool little room. Something I've encountered quite a lot is members of the Patriot community getting burned out because you alienate friends, you alienate family. Most of the time it's a thankless job for most people, and it takes a lot of love to keep going. You really have to know what you're fighting for and have a firm understanding of that. I find that in my life, you know, spending all this time away from my wife and my babies is very difficult. It's very lonely and it's very difficult, but I have to keep going because I'm fighting for them. Well, you know, like I said before, the bad guys don't take a day off, so neither can I.
And we are back with segment two. Segment two is brought to you by our good friends at Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots to get strategically relocated to the safe haven, to the safe zones, to the free zones, to the northernmost part of the panhandle in the heart of the American redoubt. And they are helping people all the time get relocated. And if you need somebody to help you find some property and track down a place to get moved, and you've got your sights set on the northern part of North Idaho, then check them out at SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. All right, now, security. Let's talk about this. Computer security, electronic security. This latest article that came out in several places across the internet. VPNs banned in Russia. Well, there's another one that's shedding a little bit more light on this. And actually, it's a little more common sense approach. It's from ExpressVPN. Of course, these guys are selling a VPN service. So they're saying, whoa, everybody, hey, stop the panic. Did Russia really ban VPNs? Well, no, they didn't really actually ban VPNs. And this is like I've always said, this is the essentially what they are saying. You'll always be able to have computer security. You'll always be able to have something like a VPN and encryption, so long as the government has a back door to it as well. So what they mean is when a country bans a type of encryption or security service, most likely, most of the time, what it really means is any encryption or security that you use, the government must be able to have a backdoor access to, for, of course, keeping you safe, for fighting terrorism. Whatever boogeyman is out there, They need to be able to have access to it. And if you're not a terrorist, you should not have anything to hide, and you shouldn't have a problem with the government having the ability to snoop into your personal correspondence, right? So that's what these guys are saying. You may have seen the dramatic headlines in recent days claiming that Russia's banning VPNs too, and drawing parallels to Apple's recent removal of VPNs from its China App Store. But what's the real story? Yes, Putin and the Russian parliament have indeed passed a new amendment with the intention of reinforcing the government's censorship efforts, but it's far from a blanket ban on VPNs. Well, that's actually partially true. Instead, the amendment looks to strong-arm VPN services into complying with Russia's censorship regime. That is, block any websites blacklisted by the country's communications watchdog, Roskomnadzor. How's that? It's unclear, however, exactly how Russia intends to put this new regulation into practice when it takes effect on November 1st of this year. It appears that both the Federal Security Service and the ISPs will be tasked with identifying and cracking down on VPNs, but as we've seen in other high censorship countries, enforcement is a game of cat and mouse. Remember that. I've said that before. These guys are saying the same thing. Many of us have been saying this same thing. When the government puts it's like you can't control the internet. You can place controls on it, but it is a game of cat and mouse. There are security and privacy advocates always looking for a way to keep you one step ahead, and the government's always trying to play catch up. So we have that in our favor, those of us who are privacy advocates, who appreciate liberty and unwarranted searches into our papers, persons, effects, and computers. Doing so would require them to take impractical measures with far worse consequences, such as completely shutting down connectivity to the global internet. So they're saying the government can't even really enforce this without just completely cutting off internet service coming into the country. They can try going after some VPN services or coercing VPN servers into compliance. And yes, they can. Through raids, they can raid you, they can fine you, they can confiscate your equipment, they can seize, you know, physical hardware, your drives, etc. But there are definitely tools out there available to help increase your anonymity and your security through encryption. But it is a game of cat and mouse. Because we are living in a very volatile world, we're living in a hostile environment. And the electronic age now gives adversaries unprecedented access into personal information about you and your daily activities and all the people that you're connected with. So it is wise, patriots, to begin implementing certain measures and disciplines into your daily life now, before you are a criminal, before you're actually being hunted as a terrorist because whatever reason, your views, your values, the church that you belong to, non-sanctioned Bible that you are in possession of, whatever it might be. And somebody asked me a question. I got a great question this week. Actually, there's a series of questions in this email. He says, I'm looking to increase security on all my devices, starting with my phone first, as it is the device I use the most. The only way I've found to put the NordVPN on my phone is through the App Store. This doesn't seem like a very secure or anonymous way to purchase the VPN. Do you know of a different way to put the NordVPN on an iPhone with a more anonymous way, with maybe more anonymous form of payment? Additionally, is the NordVPN as good for mobile devices when they are downloaded from the App Store? Sorry if all of that is a lot. Thank you for all you do for liberty. Okay, thanks for the question. These are good questions. Remember, though, Anything that you do on a mobile device or a smart device can only be made so secure. Anonymity and the use of smart devices don't go together. There's so many vulnerabilities within a mobile device, smart device, it's mind-blowing. Okay, now I do use NordVPN on my smartphone, but paying for it anonymously so nobody knows that you have it and having it from the App Store onto Nord, you know, using NordVPN or any VPN service on your mobile device. Remember, this is for avoiding. Now, when you get a VPN service and download that app onto your phone, it's not anonymous. They can see that you downloaded NordVPN from the App Store to your phone. Big whoop-de-doo. Okay, you're basically a needle hiding in a stack of needles because everybody's going to security and VPNs and things like that. It's a major, major trend. So you're not standing out like you would have been maybe 10 years ago. It's just the norm. Now, as far as being able to target what's on your phone, I still use it. Even though mobile devices are extremely vulnerable, they're vulnerable to exploitation if somebody decides to target you. But for your day-to-day activities and normal correspondence, using a VPN is really a very good, highly recommended idea between you and other users and for your internet activity. Once you have the app downloaded onto your phone and you begin surfing the internet, it will route you through a VPN, a virtual private network, which changes your IP address, and then it re-encrypts your traffic. So let's say you go to Survival Blog and they're trying to document everybody going to survivalblog.com because they must be up to no good, them survivalists, right? So we want to know everybody that's coming to Survival Blog. So what they do is they target the Survival Blog server to look at all the traffic coming to visit survivalblog.com. But only they see some guy from Belarus or from Bulgaria or Taiwan coming to visit the website. They can't see what you're looking at. They can't see where you're really from because you've been anonymized. Your IP address has been changed at least once, and all the traffic and everything you're looking at is encrypted. So that's good. But I want to remind you, mobile devices are extremely vulnerable to exploitation by their nature. You cannot lock them down and still use them as phones. It's one or the other. If you are targeted by intelligence services, an intelligence agency, or some type of Interpol or somebody like that, then what they can do is apply some serious tools to make it easier to find out who you are and where you're located and what you're seeing. Okay, and if you specifically have been targeted, they can exploit your phone and basically see everything that's being streamed, you know, onto your phone. Or everything that's entered your phone, it gets retransmitted back out to them so they can see what's come into your phone. They can remotely activate your camera. They can remotely activate your microphone. And they can still continue to track you through the cell phone tower system so for your location. And yes, they know exactly who you are because you have a MAC address. Every electronic device like that has a MAC address. But that's only if they've specifically targeted you because they want to know what you are doing. They don't have the resources to do that. Okay, that's one of those deceptive tools that makes you think they are all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, so you just don't do anything as far as security goes, and then everything's right out in the open. Then they don't have to use any special tactics or techniques or procedures because you're doing nothing to prevent them from just gobbling everything up right out in the open. So definitely use a VPN. Now, I will say this. If I were doing something really serious, like something that could land me in jail one day, or something, let's say the Chinese invade and they are going after my home church pastor. He's under arrest for leading a unsanctioned underground church. And I need to coordinate with others to move him through an underground safe house network. I would never use a mobile device for that type of correspondence, ever. Okay, I would use other methods, like a secure computer, and I would use other encryption and anonymizing tools, which I talk about in the underground project, the thumb drive that we have available. The underground project talks about those type of techniques. So for your day-to-day activities, when you strongly believe you have not been targeted by some type of agencies or something like that, I wouldn't have no problem using a mobile device as long as I'm using a VPN for a lot of my correspondence. And then there's several apps also, such as Signal and Wire. Those are encryption apps that encrypt your correspondence from texts, file sharing, sending images back and forth to each other. It wraps it all up in some very powerful encryption, including voice phone calls. Make a phone call encrypted. There's two apps that I recommend, Signal and Wire. Now, that brings me to my next question before we close out this segment. I have talked about Signal in the past being not necessarily compromised, but potentially compromised, or at least placed in a compromising position where it could be more vulnerable. Someone said, hey, I heard you say Signal is compromised, not to use it. That's not what I said. What I said was I prefer using Wire over Signal nowadays because Signal, the developers of Signal, which used to be Redphone, super strong encryption, strong privacy advocates, they made a deal with Google. So now Signal is partnered with Google, and it is, I think it's an exclusive app. Well, I got to look again. Anyway, I know they partnered with Google for the development of it and the marketing of it, and I just don't trust Google because they make no bones about it. Their whole thing is data collection on consumers. That's why they make all these things free, available free to you. Now, versus Wire, which is also a free app, but it's also very strong privacy advocates. They basically has the same backbone as Signal, but it's just not, doesn't have all of the Google Analytics woven all through its software and stuff. But I use both. And that brings me to another point, and that's layering. I don't recommend just using one app or one service or one program. There's a lot to be said as far as security goes for layering things. I might send an email encrypted to someone using GPG encrypted email. They might respond to me on Wire. And then I might send a follow-up to them using Signal. So if any one thing is exploited, all of your correspondence isn't exploited. So layering also can be very useful, not for everything, not all the time, but occasionally, it's a good thing to consider, especially in the future when the stakes are much higher and you need to start thinking more unconventionally, about your tradecraft. And then the other thing, too, that I want to encourage you guys to be thinking about as we see these world governments and eventually the United States government and the global government, they're going to be trying to drop the hammer on any type of anonymity or encryption and security. So start practicing using Tails and Tor, the Tor browser. And there's things like Tor bridges that you can use to connect to the Tor network that don't look like Tor node networks. They have the appearance of being a normal internet type of connection, and those are called bridges. So you need to learn these tools for the future and use all these different tools. But Signal versus Wire, I definitely strongly recommend Wire. I still use Signal, but not that often, and it's usually very benign stuff, just as a matter of habit to start steering away from anything that Google is connected with. And nothing ever, highly sensitive, real-world sensitive stuff will never be done on a mobile device. So Hopefully that answers some of those questions and clarifies some of that a little bit for you guys. There's more, and of course a lot more of that's covered in the underground thumb drive, the underground project thumb drive that we have with the whole going underground communications and encryption and anonymity and tradecraft. So, okay, we're going to take a break, come back with segment three, wrap everything up, talking about the impeachment of Trump and what that could mean. There's a lot of talk going on about it. It's got my attention. I'm following it very closely. It's something very interesting that we should all be, I think, paying close attention to. And we'll talk about that when we come back. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Now maybe I did not mean to treat you bad, but I did anyway. Now maybe.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty State. There are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is that it's not popular. Born of ignorance, and only a bunch of hicks support the move to split a state. Well, that's funny, because polls with over 10,000 responses, including KXLY, not known as a bastion of conservatism, showed an average of 74% in support. Crosscut, a socialist-leaning publication, said the movement is born of ignorance. They claim that us hicks actually do share the same values, culture, traditions, and heritage as downtown Seattle. Really? We believe the Constitution means what it says, and the Bible is the word of God. We believe in the sanctity of life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. Time and again, Seattle has rejected and repudiated those ideas. The truth is, we are already two states, and the fact they have to ridicule such a popular idea proves it. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Community Elect Matt Shea Republic.
This is segment three at Radio Free Redoubt. Segment three is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Designs to help keep you safe and help you thrive. If you're planning your property or need help with it or buying property, Strategic Landscape Design will work with you through each step in the process to provide the level of planning and detailing that are customized to meet your specific needs. You can learn more about how they can help you by visiting their services page to find out what services they offer, helping you to achieve a life of liberty. Now, in this segment, I want to talk about something that we've kind of hinted at before. Now, I've mentioned this many times, and that is this world, the global system, the deep state, the media, the lemmings in our culture absolutely hate President Trump with all of their being. There are dark forces in high places. The dark forces of this world are scheming and planning for his destruction and the destruction, really, of America. He's the first president that I know of who has actually done what he said he was going to do while he was on the campaign trail. What he is doing is working toward restoring the rule of law and American traditional American ideals. He rejects the globalist narrative, and his mantra is America first. And that has the globalists, the leftists, the socialists, the anti-Americanists, the godless, has them just reeling right now, working and scheming on a way to destroy him. One of the ways that they're trying to do that, I'm starting to see in circles that I'm in, kind of strategic thinkers, patriots, from all different types of backgrounds and with listeners and with friends, we're starting to see this unfold. And that is the coup to overthrow Trump. The coup that is underway. There are a couple of YouTube channels, and actually I got to hand it to Alex Jones at InfoWars. His analysis is dead on as far as what they're trying to do with Mueller here. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But essentially talking, and I saw one, where was that? Essentially saying when Trump signed the increased sanctions against Russia, he essentially submitted to this coup. Well, I don't really think that's quite accurate. But a coup is underway. They are positioning the people in the White House. These are the people that are being replaced, or the people that are replacing those that are going out and coming into the White House, are definitely deep state type people with lots of strings attached to something that is harmful to President Trump and his administration, in my estimation. And now we have, well, there's what? Michael Savage. I used to be a huge fan of Michael Savage years ago. I used to listen to him all the time. But he just basically said, look, there's going to be a civil war if Trump is taken down. This week, millions of Americans will revolt if the globalists remove President Trump from office or render him powerless, radio host Michael Savage warned. I agree. He says Americans could even resort to mob violence because they'll have nothing to lose once they are finally aware of the fact that they've been tricked by their society. And no matter how hard they work as middle class people, they've nothing to gain. So I'm not so sure that there would be mob violence, because conservatives, patriots, even non-Christian patriots don't typically have that mob mentality. They don't think like communist revolutionaries, and I don't think they're going to act like communist revolutionaries, but I do believe they're going to act, and there's several different ways that that could go. But I came across an article at the Conservative Firing Line titled "Former Navy SEAL Craig Sawman Sawyer Warns of Gruesome Massacre If Trump Removed from Office." I'm seeing several postings, articles, editorials, and then social media postings where we're seeing a sentiment rise up among people that are supportive of Trump and what he's trying to do. If they unlawfully tried to unseat this president, they are already cornering him. They are isolating him. They are cutting him off from intelligence. There are those at the high levels of our military, the Pentagon, and our intelligence services, which are isolating him from information. This is actually happening right now. They got leaks coming out of the White House almost on a daily basis that they cannot control. It's like there is a small handful of people inside the DC area, the District of Criminals. There is a small handful of people that are loyal to him. Everyone else is backbiting. They're fighting for positions for their own careers or advancement or survival. And then you've got a mass amount of millions of people that are supportive of him at the grassroots level. But inside the Beltway, he is alone, and there is so much scheming and planning to undo him. Now, this Mueller has set up a grand jury to start subpoenaing people, looking on this witch hunt to try to find connections to the Russians for affecting the elections. And this is what I predicted months ago, that at some point they are going to try to manipulate things so that they can say that he is not a legitimate president because the Russians interfered. and then they dump it into Congress's lap. There's talk of impeachment, and then now we have basically an open act of coup trying to, at the very least, obstruct the executive branch of our government. It almost would not be surprised if we saw kind of a reversal like we see in Venezuela, where you have the executive branch purging out and removing the legislative branch, where in this country, I do not trust the Republicans in Washington, D.C. any farther than I can throw the Empire State Building. I do not trust them. They're scheming. They've undermined Trump and everything he's tried to do to remove socialized programs like socialized medicine and secure our borders. And they've undermined him at every turn. They are scheming and working to not just undermine him, but to overthrow and remove him. And like opposite of what we saw in Venezuela, I would not be surprised if we see in the next 24 months, the legislative branch unseat and purge the executive branch. If there is a coup, or if they impeach and try to remove him from office, I believe we will be hurled into a civil war. I believe that the sleeping giant will not sit still any longer. Here's an article by this former Navy SEAL in a Facebook post published just this Friday. He's a former Navy SEAL, sniper, combat instructor, the owner of Tactical Insider. He warned of a gruesome massacre if President Trump is removed from office, and that Muslim former president, which will not be named, is behind this. There's lots of evidence to indicate he is doing everything he can to undermine this president. The deep state, everybody that's involved, is working to destroy his presidency and even to remove him, some of them. He says, I'm hearing serious rumblings of a hostile, illegal coup against our democratically elected president by seditious, deep state subversives funded by Soros and other globalists. Very disturbing, he wrote. He said, Patriots, this would be nothing less than an act of war against the American people. It would be the removal of our boldest defender and last possibility of maintaining our protective constitution. Under the boot of globalists, life as we know it would be immediately declined to the model that suits the global interests. Marxists, socialists, communists. They get complete control. You get zero. Freedom, gone. Liberty, gone. This agenda is evil and simply cannot be allowed at any cost. Like all military, law enforcement, and government officials, I took an oath to defend our Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. By abandoning the rule of law and conducting a coup against the president and policies we, the people, elected, they have made themselves enemies of the United States. After observing that all patriots, regardless of position, have a duty to protect the Constitution, Sawyer minced no words, detailing what he believes would happen to those involved in Trump's removal, and he explained why. Anti-American subversives involved in any way in an unconstitutional coup against our president will be run down and executed immediately by the world's most supreme warriors. There will be nowhere to run to, nowhere to hide, no mercy, no sense of humor. Harsh examples will be made. My prediction is it will be a gruesome massacre. Why? Because one side in this conflict has 8 trillion bullets, and the other side doesn't know which bathroom to use. And he added, it won't take very long. It will likely take a few hours. Now, I don't agree with that assessment. This will be weeks and months, if not years, because the other thing that will probably happen is, at least if there is a 2-side, but if there starts to become 3 and 4 sides involved, there will be international intervention. And that is going to complicate the heck out of everything. This will not take just a few hours. I guarantee it. But lessons will be learned, history will take note, and order restored. Patriots, we the American people stand united as one against all enemies, he said. We are a peace-loving people who abide by the rule of law. Prepare yourselves in this in case this ridiculous insanity actually gets played out and the rule of law goes out the window under their gross miscarriage of our legal process. And then they said in this article, as they reported Friday, actor James Woods warned that a civil war would break out if Democrats like Maxine Waters, who has made it clear she's willing to sacrifice national security to hurt Trump, succeeded in removing Donald Trump from office. Sadly, Democrats aren't the only ones involved in what many now see as a coup d'etat against Trump. And I agree. I think that's what is happening. I think this is a coup. It's a soft coup. Republicans like Lindsey Graham and John McCain are doing their level best to sabotage Trump. It should be clear that any attempt to remove Trump from office would result in unrest, the likes of which we have not seen in years. As of this writing, Sawyer's post, which starts with the call to prayer for the nation and the president, has been shared over 400 times. What do you think? Do you agree with Sawyer? Let us know in the comment section below. Okay. Yes, I absolutely do agree with Sawyer that something like that should be done. And I can only hope that the Patriots would actually rise up to do it. The problem is, I don't have a whole lot of faith in the general broad sense of the Patriots in this country. The Patriots have laid down so many times and not risen up when they should have risen up so many times before. And I saw when, for example, in Coeur d'Alene, when they pushed this homosexual bill through, this ordinance, they had a standing room only showing of Patriots who were furious. There was hope. I actually had hope that conservatives would rise up and take a stand for righteousness and do the right thing. And the city council went completely against them, with 80 to 90% of the people opposed to this pro-homosexual ordinance representing their city. They're saying, this, you're trying to redefine our city and our values, and you don't represent us. 9 out of 10 people were opposed to this ordinance, and the city council turned and went against the people and against their will and approved this ordinance right in front of them. And there was an election 90 days, I think 90 days later, 3 or 4 months later, there was an election. And darned if Coeur d'Alene City didn't reelect the same stinking people that 9 out of 10 were furious enough to show up and make their voices known and make their views heard, that they did not hold them accountable when it came time for the elections. When it came time for action, for them to actually take action against those who pushed this ordinance against their will. You know why? They didn't show up. There was like a 21% voter turnout in that election. And this is why I don't have the faith I want to have so badly. But when I see 1 out of 5 Patriots willing to step forward, oh, and by the way, that 20% voter turnout included Democrats and Republicans. In fact, more Democrats showed up and leftist Republicans showed up to vote in the leftists who are pushing forward leftist, godless ordinances. And the problem is, the reason why we are where we are today in this country, and the reason why I don't have the faith that we'll rise up and there will be a civil war if there's a coup and they oust Trump, is because Patriots don't have a history of showing up. They don't. So my challenge to you, Patriots, are you willing to start changing things and show up when you're called to it? You showed up last November. That was a beautiful thing. But still, he didn't win by a landslide. There were a lot of Patriots that still didn't show up last November for the elections. There are rallies out there where conservatives are being heavily outnumbered in conservative strongholds. Patriots, you've got to start getting involved. Patriots have to show up. And if there is a coup, an unlawful coup, and they unseat Trump, I think that a lot of Patriots are going to have some serious decisions to make and put their money where their mouth is. Are you going to sit back and grumble, or are you going to show up? Something to think about. All right, you guys have a blessed week. Thank you so much for being out there and for your support. Keep the prayers and the support coming. And, well, the prayers of support, your words of encouragement. Thank you guys so much for supporting us. And we will definitely be in touch. We'll be on the air. We're going to be grid down next weekend starting Friday. But there will be a show next Sunday night. I am going to probably pre-record my interview with Shelby Gallagher talking about the solar eclipse and some of the, I guess, the glimpse into what a SHTF situation might look like. Just some hints of it. Pretty interesting perspective. So we'll do that. And we'll definitely be on the air next Sunday night. But we will also be on the air from Friday through Sunday on the Ameron Nets for T-Rex 2017. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too. Good night.